Hallelujah. Let us begin by opening a scripture in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Revelation, chapter 19. Then we'll set the coordinates for the journey that will take us through the week. Revelation chapter 19, I'll read verse 10 for the sake of time. And Bishop, I was asking for a clock, and I don't seem to see any clock. I didn't come with my watch, except you don't mind if we use spiritual time. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Turn your Bible again to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, if you read this passage of scripture, you will come to realize that in terms of God communicating his counsel to his people, there was a shift in the end time, because the Bible says God previously, he spake to our fathers through the instrumentality of the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken unto us by his Son. Now, I will need to explain something to us, because my scripture for the night is in the book of Revelation chapter 3. This is a passage that is supposed to give us an awareness, so that by the time we come into the book of Revelation, you'll be able to understand what Jesus was looking for when he came to inspect the churches. So the Bible says that in these last days, God is speaking to us by his Son. Meaning that he's speaking to us by a testimony. You see, there is a difference between the counsel of God, the commandments of God, the judgments of God, and the testimony of God. When you hear the word testimony, it means that God is speaking about himself, about his purpose, about his program by himself. That is what qualifies for a testimony. In the book of Revelation chapter 19, where we read, it says the testimony of Jesus is what the life of prophecy is. So in prophecy, Jesus borrows a vocal cord of a human being And it begins to speak to a generation. It begins to speak to a people. Are you still with me?
Yes.
All right. So in view of the above, we have a situation in the book of Hebrews. So God is the one that is speaking to the end time church. He might be using a vessel, but Jesus is the one that is communicating. And anything that falls short of Jesus bearing witness makes that kind of delivery to be short of testimony. Short of testimony. There is no testimony in it. It means that the person was not committed any testimony to communicate. Now, I'd like us to go to the book of Acts chapter 9. You are going to see the man that was eventually called Paul, who was previously called Saul. He happened to be one of the scholars, the individuals that was reckoned for his articulation of the counsel of God that was enshrined in the Torah. Because of his unique persuasions, he found himself in the sect of the Pharisees. And that was because of several convictions that he has that was in alignment with the philosophy of the Pharisees. Now, see, as a scholar of his type, in the book of Acts chapter 9, this was the expression of his zeal was revealed in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he will bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now, so you will notice initially, as a graduate of the ways of the law and someone that was privileged to do his master's degree under the supervision of Gamaliel. Upon his graduation, he found Christianity to be toxic. He found it to be corruption. He found it to be a snare. He found it to be an offense. Are you there?
Yes.
And the Bible says his reaction was not internalized. His reaction was very vocal. He was a vocal terrorist, because the Bible says that he threatened the people of this way. Now, that's what his disposition, in fact, and he believed he was doing God's service for doing that kind of stuff. That was his disposition. And it's just like we're having fellowship now and you want to go to the parking lot to retrieve your car. Then you meet Saul there. He will threaten you and say, I will kill you. I will kill you. So you people have come to destroy what God has established. You will be my enemy for life. When he did that for like 1 year, the pastors of the assembly must have spoken to the people and told them that, well, don't mind that guy. He only has power to threaten us. Ignore him if you can. So he realized that the brethren were ignoring him. He now went a step further and advanced to Jerusalem to seek letters that will authorize him and give him authority to implement his vengeance. Meanwhile, that was when the church was supposed to pray, but the church did not pray about it. Until the guy now secured letters from Damascus. Now, when he secured letters from Damascus, he now had what it takes to implement his vengeance on the people of God. And that was the first time that the Sanhedrin sanctioned an enforcement arm. I don't want to trouble you with the politics of the Sanhedrin and how they came about giving this young man letters. It's not just letters that they gave him, because his first assignment was to Damascus. That means he had cross-border immunity. He was like Interpol. He could move. Meanwhile, Damascus is Assyria. So his first mission was to Assyria. He had cross-border influence. The backing that he got in the letter that he retrieved from Jerusalem equipped him to visit any settlement whatsoever that had Jews in it, whether they were in Jerusalem or in Assyria or any part of the world for that matter. Can you imagine the kind of pride this guy left the gates of Jerusalem when he was commissioned? His militia was empowered and he was given the privilege to pick the people that will form his immediate team when they rode from on horseback from Jerusalem. Can you imagine that pride? He was saying, I'm unstoppable now. The last time I checked, you people say, the only thing I had power to do is to threaten you. But now I will do more than threaten. I will bring you bound. And even the rules of engagement in military situations, you are allowed to kill men, you leave women and children. But the mandate he secured from Jerusalem gave him authority also to bind women, not just men. Now, this guy was committed to what he was doing until a testimony was committed to him. The shape of his life, the tangent of his emphasis, is shifted on the ground on the count of a testimony that was committed to him. Jesus appeared to him. And that was when he discovered that he did not know the Jesus that he was fighting. Because, who are you, Lord? So there was an introduction. And her personal, this is not the Lord, this is me. When I read that scripture, I try to imagine how Jesus appeared to him. You know, there are many ways to appear. One of the symptoms in that scripture that gives us insight into how Jesus appeared to him was that when Jesus called him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He asked the question, who are you, Lord? Now, so it means the way Jesus appeared, you could know he was a monarch. You could know he was an authority. And the guy began on the path, in fact, he got that right, to acknowledge that it was a Lord he was addressing. In addition to that, I have a personal, okay, let me leave my own personal aspect. There were two questions that he asked Jesus. First question is, who are you, Lord? Second question he asked Jesus is, what will you have me do? It means that initially, it was the letters that gave him the authority to carry out his mission. But if he was asking, what will you have me do? His loyalty had shifted from the letters to the Lord, because the Lord is entrusting into his hands a testimony. Now, you see, the Bible says in these last days, God is speaking unto us by his Son. So his Son comes to entrust a testimony into your hand. And an angel will not do that. Because if an angel does it, it is no longer a testimony. God by himself will have to encounter you in order for you to be capable of a testimony. It was that testimony that Paul received that altered the course of his life forever. And he never finished talking about his encounter in Damascus, because the implication of a testimony grows as you begin to respond to it. It's just like a calling. You begin to attend to a calling. And as you begin to attend to it, you begin to understand it more. Oh, this is what Jesus meant when he asked me to carry out this task. If you are faithful and you keep going on, you keep understanding it. And Jesus can be interpreting what he said in 5 minutes. He can be interpreting it consistently for 5 years, giving you additional insight into the meaning of that which he communicated to you, just because you are faithful in dealing with a testimony that was entrusted into your hands. Now, have you understood this? I want to take you to the book of Revelation. There's an analysis I want to do quickly. And if I achieve that in the next few minutes, I want us to pray. Come with me. Revelation chapter 1. If you go to the book of Acts chapter 6, you are going to see Paul is given an account of the encounter he had with Jesus. Then he gave us some details that are not in chapter 9. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
If we are going to redirect the church in America back to Christ, if the intensity of what the church is doing will take hold on the soul of the nation and turn the heart of the nation back to the Lord, there is a standard that we must sustain in order to have that kind of impact in our service delivery. Let me read the scripture. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, let me explain that if I can. The content of the book is the disclosure of Jesus. If you study the book, you will find things, events happening in places, events taking place, things unfolding, the dynamics of the administration in heaven, you know, orchestrations in the throne room, and so many things happening. But the testimony of this book is a testimony of Jesus. It is easy for you to be consumed by events, by orchestrations, and you lose the testimony. If that happens, it means that you have lost the spirit of prophecy. And your life is no longer driven by an emphasis that Jesus has made, but is driven by the orchestrations that you see around. I know you didn't get me. You will get me soon. He said, this is to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. You see, it's in the next statement that he brings the issue of things. Meanwhile, what it is that it is a testimony that was entrusted to a man by Jesus. We are consumed by things. We need to climb into the testimony. Let me explain. Once upon a time, I was seriously into missions in Nigeria before the Lord brought us to the U.S. not too long ago. In fact, this month, July, makes it 2 years that I've been in the U.S., so I don't know so much about the things going on here. The location where our ministry base was became a target for radical Islam. And several people did not make it. And some of our churches in the villages were affected. Have you ever had to conduct a burial ceremony and there's no corpse? Which scripture will you use for that burial ceremony? Is it Lamentations you'll be quoting from or Exodus? When that orchestration came, it became easy for people to be responding in prayer based on the orchestration. It means that what is making us act is an activity that Satan sponsored. That means we are concerned about things, orchestrations, occurrences. But the only thing that can change the situation and implement God's will, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Is that we have the testimony. It is possible for you to be overtaken and overwhelmed by the things that you consider to be important within the scope of situation, within the scope of circumstance. The only way you can be accurate as an end time believer is that you had contact with Jesus and you received a testimony from him. You will notice that Saul was operating by orchestrations. What he learned in theological school and the emphasis that his lecturers gave him formed his worldview. And he held on to it as a zealot. He now saw the foolishness of his ways the moment he was entrusted with the testimony. So we are hoping that during the course of this conference, we'll climb out of the confusion of the orchestrations that Satan has put in place and will enter into the economy of the counsel of God.
Amen.
When we waited on the Lord, because we prayed that prayer, stop the violence, and the violence increased. Many more people were killed. Many died. Even our crusade team were dispatching them to an Islamic area and they were ambushed. I think the people also have some form of spirituality. And they have a lens by which they see. So they wounded some of our people, but they did not kill anyone. And by the time we're passing the same road, because the equipment went ahead and then we were coming behind. So by the time we came, the guys were not there. The people that they wounded, they sutured their heads and their bodies, and we continued our campaign. Yes, I've been in those kind of things. Now, we prayed and said, Lord, end the violence. Oh, Jesus, deliver us. The more we prayed that way, the more people died. Until we stopped praying that way. And I asked Jesus, what are you really doing in all of this? He said, all right, I want to kindle a revival. And what you are seeing is Satan's response to what I'm trying to do. Can you focus on what I'm doing? Forget what Satan is doing.
Amen.
It's difficult. Under the circumstances that I'm talking about, it's difficult for you to keep your focus. But you see, if we are going to make progress, I'm just telling you about progress, kingdom progress, kingdom impact, kingdom agenda, to advance it, then we're going to have to climb out of the orchestrations and latch onto the revelation of Jesus. Okay? Now, go to verse 2. I want to strike a chord before we begin. Verse 2 of Revelation 1. Are you there with me? He said, this John that was brought to the Isle of Patmos, this was his assignment. He was to bear record of the word of God. He was to bear record of the testimony of Jesus and to bear record of the things that he saw. So John will be shown things, but you with me? But God is giving him a testimony. Many, many ministries will be operating based on orchestrations, based on things, based on events, based on happenings. And that's how we were almost derailed, just because the issues were so heartbreaking and everyone was, thrown out of balance. We now learned how to seek the will of God in the midst of persecution, to know what to focus on. The church of this day must be weaned from focusing on the orchestrations that Satan is making to happen. Amen. And we must be carriers of the counsel of God, so that in the midst of the orchestrations, there is a clarity of focus and emphasis that drives our lives. So John was left on the Isle of Patmos. All his other colleagues were killed, deaths of martyrdom. He was the only one that Jesus spared, his friend. And the reason was because he had to receive a testimony. A testimony is an entrustment. When Jesus speaks to you, it's an entrustment. It means he's entrusting something to you to ensure that that thing is implemented. It's an aspect of his administration for him to entrust you with a testimony. And if he does entrust you with a testimony, that is supposed to be your antidote against the confusion and the orchestration that Satan is stirring in the realm and distracting people with. If you see someone that doesn't have a testimony, you have seen someone that is zealous about something that is in opposition to that which God is doing. We can learn that from the life of Apostle Paul. He thought he was, oh my God, doing great, until Jesus came and entrusted a testimony to him. He told us his story in the book of Acts chapter 26. He's ashamed of the days of his ignorance and what he applied his zeal to accomplish, because he never struck a chord in the kingdom of God. It was when a testimony came that his eyes were open. And God allowed him to experience 3 days of physical blindness as a prophetic typology of how he was before he encountered Jesus. And on the strength of that encounter, Jesus wanted him to know how that he was persecuting him. So when he asked, what will you have me do? Jesus did not respond. He said, go to Damascus. That city that you were empowered to go and implement the previous policy, you still need to go into that city. And then the policy of my kingdom concerning your life, it shall be told you what you must do. The first revelation this man is confronted with, and it's a very intense moment. The first revelation is confronted with is the issue concerning the body of Christ. That even though Jesus appeared, Jesus was telling him that my secrets are in my body. Amen. So I don't need to tell you everything. Go to Damascus.
Amen.
There is one of me and one of mine that has the tail end, the other part of this story. So I don't need to tell you everything. So this guy is confused. It was on the strength of that he knew what Jesus meant when he said, why persecutest thou me? If you notice in his writing subsequently, he gives us terrific insight into the constitution of the body of Christ, how that the body operates by the principle of interdependence and not independence, and how that the strength that you have is part of an organic arrangement that is designed to flow from you and to equip other aspects, so that there's this symbiotic form of harmony that is achieved in the body of Christ that is mystical. This man rises from that place blind, led by the hand. Then he goes to Damascus, to the people that he's supposed to be killing. If there's anything he deserves, is to be killed. But when Ananias came to him, Ananias called him brother. He broke down there. What he was expecting as a retaliation to his ignorance, he met Christ manifested as love in the bowels of the brethren. Brother Saul. Then he continues from where he stopped in his last encounter. The Lord Jesus that you encountered on the way to Damascus, he sent me. The guy is wondering, what is going on here? The only thing we did not ask him was, where are the letters you got from Jerusalem? Where did he keep them? He was face to face with a testimony. And in that testimony, there was an entrustment. What Jesus was saying by entrusting him was, stop all these orchestrations. That man will rise from that place with a doggedness, with a grace that made him defy death once and again. The same slaughter that he threatened people with, that slaughter came to him and he was able to graciously contain it. The story of Saul becoming Paul is a story that we need to sit back and look at. His direction changed, his trajectory. He changed completely because he was entrusted with a testimony to open their eyes. Oh, let me read it to you. Let me read it. Because I've tried to two times to leave it and it's calling me. So we have to go back to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Unfortunately, it happened to be that his accompaniment, the individuals that accompanied him on the mission, were not privileged to receive a testimony. They were knocked off horseback and made obeisance to Jesus. They saw the light shine, but it was only Saul that heard the voice. So they were in the environment, the practical environment of the glory of God that descended. Then they knew something happened, but because their encounter was without a testimony, their life did not change. In these last days, he speaks through the vocal cord of his son, because it says that prophecy doesn't have its origin with man, but holy men of old, they speak as they were carried by the Spirit. We are trusting the Lord that will be carried.
Amen.
Now, this is his story. This is his story. Acts 26 verse 14 says, and when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. We didn't know this in Acts chapter 9. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you. Jesus now adds an idiomatic expression, a parable. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you to kick against the barbed wire. What Jesus was telling him was that what we set in motion from eternity, you cannot extinguish in time. You will enjoy yourself. It's hard. It's so hard. You were trying so hard to wipe me out. You were trying so hard to break the fold. You were trying so hard to disperse the congregation. But we set it up in eternity. It has taken hold in time. It's sealed by my sacrifice. Just one lunatic cannot undo it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
One man that has lost his way cannot do damage to that which has its roots in eternity. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard. It's hard. So that's what we told the Muslims. It's hard. It's hard. It's difficult. Is it attempting to uproot us now? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise. So he's about to entrust something to him. Arise. I know that the glory was so intense it knocked you down. But now, arise. Now, that sounds like Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine. For can you see that in Isaiah chapter 60, it is not our light that came? Oh, you are not with me. It is your light that came in Isaiah chapter 60. Now, you are not following me. But, okay. Let me just do this scripture so that the Holy Ghost will not bring me back here. He said, but arise. He has the right to arise because a testimony has been entrusted. His light has come.
Amen.
But arise, stand upon thy feet. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. What's the difference between a minister and a witness? A minister is given things to dispense, the things that you receive by grace to dispense to your generation. All right? You might be given insight into the word of God, all right, and utterance with which to dispense it. It means that you've been given something to minister to your generation. But a witness is different. A witness has authority to bear testimony about some matters that he met and experienced by encounter. Jesus is saying that there are other things you will need to witness to me about, and on the strength of that, I will appear to you again. Without encounter, we have no witness. If you see a man bearing witness, it is because he has seen something. I've appeared to thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto you. All right, next verse. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Yes? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God.
Amen.
This man's life will not remain the same after this, because he has been entrusted with the testimony that came from the mouth of Jesus. My question to you tonight is, what is it that was entrusted into your hands? Did you come close enough to Jesus over and above the limits of your flesh to receive a testimony from him? Because if you have not, you can't change anything. You can't change anything. You know, this good gospel that we preach, hey, are you okay? Are you all right? Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can't preach it to people that are being persecuted. The father of the house has been killed. They've not buried him. And then the son of the house has been killed also. And then you say, hallelujah, nobody will answer. But if you have a testimony from Jesus, something has been entrusted to you It will strike a chord with the heart of that man. No matter how intensely buried he is in his soul, you can find his spirit through a testimony that comes from the mouth of Jesus. And that's why Jesus told him, first of all, the guys that I'm sending you to, I will deliver you from them first. You know, he said, I think that's verse 17. I need to deliver you. You've gone too far. You went and collected letters. And you've transacted in strange places. So I will first deliver you from the people. Then I will also deliver you from the Gentiles unto whom I now send you. See, I will deliver you from the people you went to collect letters from. And these Gentiles that I'm sending you to, many times I will need to appear and deliver you from them. It means that he's telling this man that your assignment is ridden with persecution, with hardship, with the same things you were wishing the church. Part of it is also in your calling. But I will deliver you. I will deliver you. I will deliver you. Jesus gave him that, I will deliver you. I'm wondering what Jesus does to people. He has clearly told the man that his days ahead are going to be bad days. But this man cannot but fulfill that which he was given. That's what a testimony does to the heart of a man. It renovates your heart. It plants in you a sense of responsibility that orchestrations from the devil cannot sway you from. Are you with me? All right. So having understood this, it may seem my message changed while I was preaching. Let me take you to the book of Isaiah and show you something quickly. And then we will pray. It says, arise, Isaiah 60. Shine. Why? Because your light is come. That testimony that Jesus gives is your light, and it is yours. It is personal. It's idiosyncratic. It's particular to you. It may not apply to the next person. You say, your light is come. When you rise according to your light, then the glory of God will rise upon you. But if you rise according to any other thing else, the glory of God will not accompany you. If we are going to make efforts that is going to affect the body of Christ in this nation, then we will need to receive testimonies from Jesus and arise according to that witness. And when you do so, the glory of God is going to accompany you and rise over you. That is how God stirs up a place. Hallelujah. Now, you will notice something. He says, arise, shine, for thy light is come. This come, underline come. Next verse. He said, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and the glory shall be seen upon thee. Yes, next verse. And the Gentiles shall come. Underline come. You see, the first come is your light. The subsequent comes is what comes, the result of your own light. If you have received your light, then Gentiles will come into your light. If you have received your light and you bask in your light to a point where you attain an intensity, then kings will come into the brightness of your rising.
Amen.
Now, see, if your light is not brilliant, you only see Gentiles coming. Yes. The kind of light some of you have been managing for 25 years, it has given you access just to Gentiles. It's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. It's a kings who only come to the brightness of your rising. Can you see that initial come, your light is come, will begin to occasion some other comes to you? First Gentiles, then what? Kings. Yeah, next verse. What does it say? It said, lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they what? Come. You will see seven other comes, which is occasioned by the first come. You are asking for 250,000, you're asking for $12 million. I don't want to continue this reading. You will now see okay, I think we need to continue it. The financial aspect of things that will support the projects that God has committed into your hands to do is not in another category. It's going to come because of your light. There's no secondary arrangement that is put in place to ensure. No, it's one come. Your light is come. Then other things begin to respond to you based on what came. It say, lift up thy eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar. Thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. You know, someone in Bermuda can see your light and say, hey, this sound resonates with the frequency of my spirit. The way God is dealing with me, this man is giving voice to my secret dealings that I cannot fully articulate. He is seeing your light in Bermuda. Then for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, you are consistent. Then he said, let me go and look for this man. So you are not aware you have a daughter in Bermuda. And then they now begin to come. There's no special arrangement to create that possibility. It is part of the investment that your light carries. Give me the next verse. We are looking for 12 million. He said, then thou shalt see and flow together. And thy heart shall fear and be enlarged. Because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall what? Come. You looking for 12 million, you are not focusing. It's you I'm talking about. Listen to me. If the 12 million is difficult to come, it means you have not entered into the brightness. Okay. If it's a struggle, it means that you have not, that light that came to you, you have not dealt properly with it to make it brilliant. So all the things that are supposed to come on the account of it, they are sluggish. It's not the devil. I know we are equipped to bind demons and to stop darkness. But this matter we are talking about, this matter of light, it's not said. If it's sluggish, then we need to go back to the Lord and say, okay, now in view of this entrustment, this testimony that you have given to me, how can I make it brilliant? Brilliant. So that person in far away Australia is in a moment in his life. He switches YouTube. First preacher. Second one. Third one. He doesn't even know what he's looking for, because the thing is a rumbling in his spirit. He himself doesn't know the name, doesn't know how it sounds, but he has the experience, because the knowledge of God is not cerebral, it's experiential. So the Holy Ghost is stirring something in his spirit. He doesn't have a name for it, doesn't have vocabulary for it. Then he switches to your channel. And then what you are saying, there's ventilation inside. That thing happening inside is happy that you are talking. Oh, okay, this is my tribe. This is. If the man in Australia cannot see that, it means that There's a problem with the intensity of the light. And you are still in the corridor of attending to Gentiles. And meanwhile, that's a good mission. Gentiles. But for those that have the courage to burn with intensity, then you will minister to kings. And I don't think it's God that determines that aspect. It's your intensity. And I say this with sincerity. I don't think it's God that determines that, okay, you will be ministering to kings. Maybe the elders can correct me. I'm open to correction. But I don't. The brightness of your eyes. The brightness of your eyes. So it is not enough for us to receive our light. We also must labor to ensure that it is intense enough to catch the attention of a distracted generation. If you are given a teaching gift, sharpen it very well. So that when someone that is coming with the logic of how that all of this creation is a function of entropy and a big bang, the cerebral man, and he, for 5 minutes, he listens to what you are saying. The light is stronger than the confusion that made him come to that conclusion. He will check another tape. He'll say, okay, maybe he was lucky that day. We'll check another one. Hey, the intensity is more. Hey. Gentiles will come to your light. So the abundance of the seed, they are available, but they will come to thy light. Your daughters will be nursed by your side. It's still the light. So, having understood this, you will now discover that it is the entrustment that Jesus gave you, the way you deal with it, that determines the possibilities that abound thereafter. Not necessarily Satan. Because Satan cannot fight the counsel of God. Anything Satan does will only promote the counsel of God. Jesus, they thought they killed Jesus, but they set him free. He was trapped in a body. He could only be in a place at a time. And then they say, well, this is our problem. He cast out devils everywhere, destroy our infrastructure. Let's take him out. Then they made him free. Somebody in Saudi Arabia, about to bow to the Kaaba, when he said, Jesus is Lord, right there, before the Kaaba, Jesus has possessed him. Finally, in the book of Revelation, we see Jesus coming to inspect the churches. What exactly is he inspecting? You will notice that the reason why John was on the Isle of Patmos was because of the word of God and because of the testimony of Jesus. Okay? So, John had an encounter with the risen Jesus, the living Jesus. Unfortunately for John, his previous knowledge of Jesus was time-based, what we call Jesus of Nazareth. But Jesus wanted to clear his doubts and show him that his time-based knowledge of him is not consistent with his reality. So Jesus comes to him from as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He comes to him as an ancient. He comes to him with the full glory that he has in the kingdom of heaven. The same John that was Jesus' best friend, John fell. And Jesus came and raised him up. So this is the same way Paul fell. And Jesus said, arise. That's how John fell when he was with the risen Jesus. And then Jesus began to bring the burden of the churches. Are you following me? So you will notice that John received the testimony of Jesus. That was the reason why he was on the Isle of Patmos. That was the reason why death could not take him, because he was ordained by God to receive a testimony. When he received this testimony as touching the churches, He transmitted the prophetic words to the churches. Are you there? It is only John that saw the full revelation. The prophetic word that went to each church was consistent with the witness that Jesus wanted to bear to those churches. When Jesus now came for inspection, what he was inspecting, he was inspecting the churches according to the testimony that they received. Oh, you are not with me? If you are not following that, I will stop. I will stop today. Maybe we can continue. We have a long way to go this weekend. He comes with his binoculars. And what he is checking in each of the churches is how they have related with the testimony he gave them. He's not looking for anything else, just the testimony he gave the churches. You know, I said in these last days, he speaks by his son. And when God speaks himself by himself, about his plans, it is a testimony. And that's what the spirit, the life of prophecy is about. So Jesus committed testimonies to these churches. And when he came for inspection, he wanted to see how faithful those churches were, consistent with what? The testimonies that he gave them. Have you seen churches die? Okay, if you have seen a church die before, it is because they were not faithful to the testimony. They became concerned about orchestrations, trends, and patterns. They were supposed to be held as a solid ground on the account of the testimonies that they had received. But they got involved in other things and abandoned that testimony. And that is the reason why those churches die. I was reading a documentary. I think it was about 2020. That how many thousand churches folded up in America? I think it's more now, but the documentary I watched, it was 14,000 that year. 14,000 churches shut down that year. And I think 2020. All right? Was it that there was no testimony? If we have time, I would have taken you to some of the churches, then you will now see that because of the orchestrations. Are you there? In one of the churches, Jesus was locked out. Meanwhile, church was still going on. What Satan fights is not how you look. It's not how gifted you are. What he fights is the testimony that God has given you. In fact, Satan's fight with all of those churches. And those churches are a prophetic timetable, a prophetic sequence that we can look at and forecast where we are presently and identify the challenges within this season on the account of that prophetic testimony. I was supposed to take us to Laodicea and do an analysis. Why was it that Jesus called himself to the Laodicean church? He said, "I am the Amen." Why did he make that statement? That was part of his testimony to the church.
Amen.
I think we'll just leave that out for now. Tomorrow we'll continue from that place. I came to tell you that for the past 3 years, there's an inspection that Jesus has been carrying out in America. And that inspection is consistent with the testimony that he has given. Genuine ministers, genuine ministries, genuine prophets, genuine pastors. And he is on an inspection. And I also want to tell you, based on, hallelujah. Based on some encounters that I had in recent times. I want to tell you that not so many ministers are doing great at the moment. The last time I was privileged by the Lord to be taken into heaven to see from that standpoint, Jesus put us on a line. If I'm not mistaken, because I tried hard to count how many people were on that line. There were like 14. So he had this wooden table. And he had this, you know, when people graduate from school, there's this cylindrical, what's the name of that thing? Okay, exactly what she said. Huh? So that's where they put the certificates of the people and hand it out. Oh, I salute you. Mommy Hin, I salute you. So, when you get where he is, he gives you one of the things. And I now discover that the things he was handed out to these individuals, I don't know if I came late or I came early, but the people I met on the queue, there were 14 at the time I came. Maybe there were previously many more, but I met 14. Then you come close to the table, he now takes one of those things he gives you. Then, I don't want to go into details today because I don't know if I have the permission to say what I'm saying. On this thing he gives out, it's like grace that people have previously walked in. And they bore bright witness of his resurrection. So he's reallocating that grace because he wants to bear witness now. So when I came, he gave me one of those things. And I was about to walk away. He called me back and he expressed a concern. He said, "Can you see that I don't have many men?" That's what Jesus told me. I don't have many men. It means that people that have been equipped with testimony from the Lord, who happen to be the only people that can change anything in the U.S., are few. So few that if God does not help us, the expectation of heaven is so huge. So huge. And the time frame for which heaven requires us to turn the tide is also so little. So I was able to hear the frustration of the Lord's heart. Can you see that I don't have many men? God comes to inspect, and the inspection has been ongoing for a few years. And the reason for the inspection is that he wants to see how faithful we have been with the testimony he entrusted in our hands. A man that has a testimony is not a victim of orchestration. And if you get so busy about what is happening, because in my city was very boisterous. Some cleansing was taking place. And I don't want to mention my city. The serious cleansing taking place in my city. But if you don't know the testimony from the inner chamber, from the control room, you will not be able to explain why those things were happening. Believers are reactional. You wait for something to happen, and then you believe that in response to this, this is what we should be doing. We should be praying. Let us fight. People that have access to the Holy of Holies don't operate that way. Because God is not confused. God has a plan that is laid out. God is not trying to react.
Amen.
So we need to climb from the orchestrations and enter into the economy of the testimony of Jesus. I salute you. Please let us pray for a few minutes. We'll continue from here tomorrow. We'll continue from here tomorrow. Oh my God. 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 We want to ask the Lord for his help during the course of this conference, that God will do something to us. Will do something so deep, so strong, so powerful in us, that as we leave this conference, we will be infectious. We'll be so infectious, more infectious than COVID. Drawing the attention of our brothers and sisters to the urgency that is in the spirit concerning this season, concerning this time. Can we ask the Lord, make me infectious, make me infectious, make me infectious, make me infectious, make me infectious. The time is running out. There is a lot that God is still expecting from the church in America. There is a lot that God is still hoping that the church in this territory will rise up to the occasion of this hour. Make me infectious. Take me beyond the orchestrations. I want to operate by reason of the wisdom that comes through a testimony, a direct entrustment from Jesus. Oh, siakota mandeli korabatia, jefota mina siko presko famatolia, jefotela sekaminatolia. That as we gather around your word and the ministry of your spirit during the course of these days, that you will infect us with something of the Holy Ghost that will empower us, that will make us restless, make us restless, make us infectious. In the name of Jesus, we ask, Father, that you stretch forth your hand. Deliko falai komansali, valoteske to mekabota. Oh, laisika bekota matolia. He's counting on you. He's counting on your intercessory ministry. He's counting on your evangelistic ministry, that he might grant us grace to shine in our brightness, to shine in our burning, to shine so bright in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask, do something to us during the course of this week in the name of Jesus. Do something, do something, do something, Lord, do something. I queso pinatelli, pina canta cola battaglia, pina sanda babote scalia, eco semina curia, eco mante cosqueta brante codabala, amamai seco mamatal, escomentoa. There's been too much silence. The grace to break the silence and turn the attention of men to the Lord one more time. Oh, can we ask him for grace? Yakobe maminatua, abiscofe, amacosantoria, amenaiko baminacuria, escofande elamoke, elamamamamama, ela sobe la kaya, ela macuske, ela brescofa minacadia, abanteco foli macadia, ela minacosca tamanto, escopela, ela kila, emansali, strengthen us with might. By your spirit, let these days not be casual days. Let these days be days of impact, days of the stirring of your spirit, days of incubation in the name of Jesus. La iscopre che ta mantala. Embro bobo sakotale. Elia sico presco ba matelia. E lo bose cabinate. Did he not say that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church? Did he not say so? Oh God, make us brilliant. Make our light strong. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Oba Botis. Ebro kote mansali. Ebro mama mokompa bambatala. Escabaita. Eli makanda. We must not go back the same way we came. There must be a shift. A shift by the Holy Ghost. Hey, Sakoboni. Babo kosa bakala. Brahma mama masia, brabo saminate, braba boteke, braba baba babo saka, braba baba baba boseke, brambe la koske, brambe baba pelaita, brambe babota, bramba baba suka baba baba, bramba baba bosko, braba koska menaitale. Oh, we give you glory, we give you glory. In the name of Jesus. There is a lady in our midst. There's a lady in our midst. And this lady that is in our midst, you received an intercessory ministry from Jesus. And because of this disclosure that Jesus made to you and your attempt to fulfill his counsel, you've been exposed to demonic attack of all sorts and all kinds. Satan is trying to break you because of the entrustment that has been given unto you. Oh my God, oh my God. As I speak, even now, the Lord is renewing the anointing that is upon your life. He's renewing the anointing of your calling. He's strengthening you with might by his spirit in your inner man. The hand of Jesus is coming strong upon you. It's coming strong upon you. It's coming strong, coming strong. It's coming stronger upon you. There is a renewal. There's an exchange that God is accomplishing in your that anointing that God is entrusting. Oh my God, it's coming stronger. Oh sister, it's coming stronger. 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 The anointing that the Lord is entrusting upon you is designed to be infectious. There are so many women that have been ordained to encounter you and experience a turnaround. He said, I should tell you, this is not time to be discouraged. It's not time to be cast down. It's time to be empowered. It's time to rise up. Milabo Korea Mama Shekati. Escobre Kabunta Mama Menakuria. Escoba Beda Isk. Escobema Montesella. Can we take a moment and say, Lord, give us another measure. Lord, give us another measure. Make that your prayer. Mauris Kebonda. Yakosketo Samakunda. Yeko Sama Sole Batolia. Mama Matosketa Briga Baba Botabona. Yakose Manatalia Keto Kando. Rabba Bosketa Zika Mamba Antelia Abesco Brega Baba Bosanto Yakamena Kuria Baba Boskatete Amen Sosai Amen Tokoma Abakai Kapos Abamena Ika Abasote Abilato Sami Abilako Beso Mantalia Amante Copa Bosaka. Thank you.
that we will not depart from this place the same way we came. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God, Iko Semali, Aveto Compre Babota Mascadia, Amenakia Boseto Compre Babonde, Cabina Leta Comba, Yabo Saminacadia, Branta Baboseke, Yabo Seca Mantala Baboria. In the name of Jesus, I saw three strands of light. Three strands of light coming from heaven. When I began to inquire, I realized that these three strands of light represents three prophets in this room. Now, there is about to be a shift in your ministry. These three individuals. In the next 21 seconds, the hand of Jesus will come upon these three individuals. In the next 21 seconds, because God, oh my God, in the next 21 seconds, Holy Ghost, those three individuals in our midst that you are promoting, you are elevating, you are promoting, you are elevating. Let your hand be on them. Let your hand be on them. Let your spirit be on them. Let your grace be on them. Let it come stronger. 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 There's an elevation. There's an elevation. He's elevating you. He's increasing you. You cannot remain on that level. He is adding to your capacity. He is adding to your ability. Grace is given. Kelito benakaya, raito kombe moko, valatuse ike, kabonte baboposaka, ababontelia, afela iko baboseke, raamba ika bobe manasanto. Lord, stir up your spirit on the lives of your people. Natalie Mokoria. We worship you. Yefotamina Soria Besko Prema Mama Maya. You will not go back the same way you came. There is an increase in your capacity. There is an increase in your allocation. His grace is multiplied over your life. In the name of Jesus.